Okay, we're starting at the top of Lamed Hei Amud Aleph. We are discussing Rabbi Yehuda's position with regards to the Korban of Pesach, which is that at the end of the day, they used to take a cup and gather up all the blood that's found on the floor and do one zrika on the Mizbeach in order to be motzi any Korban of Pesach that had its dam that was nitkabel in a kli, and then it spilled on the floor. So in order to take care of any of those situations, we said that he picks up a cup and sprinkles it on the Mizbeach. That was our proof that Rabbi Yehuda, who believes in Dichoy, also believes that when it's biyado l'takein, when it's in his ability or his power to rectify the situation, then there's no Dichoy. That was our proof to it. And then the Gemara challenged Rabbi Yehuda's position and said, wait a minute, how do you know that the blood found on the floor was blood that was nitkabel b'kli? How do you know, maybe, there was an animal that was shechted and the blood went straight onto the floor. And we know from the first parak, blood that goes straight to the ritzbah is no good. That you can't pick up and be zarek on the mizbeach. Only if it was nitkabel b'kli can you do it. Rabbi Yehuda says, no. I agree that everything has to be nitkabel b'kli, but I believe it was. Because kohanim zrizim hein. The kohanim are also very careful, and they don't make mistakes like that. So they definitely were nitkabel the dam. The problem is that they're in such a rush to do so many Korbanei HaPesach that they spill it. On the way to the Mizbeach, something spills, they're passing it from one kohen to the next kohen, there's a high likelihood that something could spill. So for that I am choshesh. But as far as Kabbalat HaDam, I'm not choshesh. The Gemara then challenged and said, what about Dam HaTamtzit? Right, there is Dam HaNefesh, so true, they were mekabel the Dam HaNefesh, but the Dam HaTamtzit fell onto the floor, it was all over the floor, it's mixed in with the Dam HaNefesh. So first the answer that we give is that Rabbi Yehuda l'tameh, this is where we are in the Gemara, that damar damar tamtzit kari dam. The dam tamtzit has a consideration like dam. It's called dam. It's the equivalent of dam and nefesh for Rabbi Yehuda. And therefore when the Kohanim were in the Kabel, they were in the Kabel not only the dam and nefesh, but also the dam tamtzit. So any blood that's found on the floor was that blood that fell out of a kli. Where it says the Tanya, dam and tamtzit bazhara. According to the Tanakam, according to the Chachamim, dam and tamtzit, the eating of the dam only has a lav associated with it, not the karet associated with it, because it's not considered the real dam. Only dam and nefesh is the real dam. He's doing merit karet. He says, no, dam and tamzit is the equivalent of dam and nefesh, and therefore you get karet for it. So now Gemara challenges that answer and says, Vama Rabbi Elazar, Molde Rabbi Yehuda, Linyan Kapara, Shenu Mechaper. Even Rabbi Yehuda, who believes that dam and tamzit is classified as dam, Linyan Achila the dam, that's not true when it comes to the korban, to doing zrikat adam or accomplishing matnot dam ala mizbeach. That can only be done with the dam nefesh. Shenemar ki adam hu ba nefesh yichaper. So the Torah goes out of its way to say that the dam ha nefesh is what works, not any other dam. So even Rabbi Yehuda believes that dam tamsit is good dam by mizbeach. He says I only take dam nefesh. So our problem still exists. So the Gemara says, Yodam Sha Nefesh Yotzabo. Only Dam in which the Nefesh is relieved. Dam and Nefesh Korei Dam. Shaina Nefesh Yotzabo ain't Korei Dam. But if it's not Dam and Nefesh, it's not called Dam, the Gabeya Mizbeach. So the Mizbeach is an exception. Even though Rabbi Yehuda's position in other places, Dam and Tamtzit is Dam, for Achila Dam, but the Gabe Mizbeach, only Dam and Nefesh qualifies. So now how are we going to explain this? Ella, Rabbi Yehuda Lita Amei. Behuda is l'shita to, damar in dam mevatel dam. That there is no bittul of dam. So even though you have many damim inside of this cup that you picked up, a lot of them are ishirayim. The blood was put on the mizbeach, and what's spilled already is shirayim. Some of it is dam tamsit, and some of it is dam nefesh that needs to get to the mizbeach. Nevertheless, dam ein mevatel dam. So if there's no in dam mevatel dam, then we don't have to worry about it, because whatever little piece that we need in there, it's still chashuv and still considered as if it's there. What about the other dam? So there are two possibilities of what we do with that. Tosos mentions either we say that when he does this rikat to dam, he says that whatever is not belonging to the mizbeach, it's as if I'm sprinkling water on the mizbeach. It's not dam, it's not classified as dam at all. And therefore only the things that need to get the mizbeach will be, and whatever else is considered like water. Or he holds, like Rabbi Lezer, that says that nit'ari b'dam ha-tamtzit kasher. We're going to be of the opinion that even though it's mixed in with dam ha-tamtzit, true, the only thing you need to get to the mizbeach is dam ha-nefesh. But if dam ha-tamtzit gets mixed in with it, it doesn't ruin it. It doesn't hurt it. It's not a negative. It's still kasher. It's not, we don't need Dhamma Tamtzi, we don't want it to go to the Mizbeach, but if it ends up in there, it's not going to hurt the Dhamma Nefesh that's there. So for either one of those two positions, Rabbi Yehuda says, the Ein Dhamma Vatal Dham, he's able to create a situation in which he has the Dham to get to the Mizbeach. So Amalayim Rabbi Yehuda, the Dibrechem, so Rabbi Yehuda says back to Chamim, let me understand your position. Lama Pukakim Ha'azara. Why did they used to stop up the drainage system out of the Azara? There was an Amata Mayim, which ran through, that was water brought from outside of Yerushalayim to the Mikdash, and then that water traveled through the Mikdash to the Amata Mayim, and then flowed out to the Nachal Kidron, which was the sewage line out. So on Pesach, we say that they were pokek. They used to stop the outline from the Amat, and it would flow in, so it wouldn't allow anything to flow out. There would be no drainage in the Mikdash. So Amrulo, Sheva Chulu Bnei Aron, Sheyochu Adar Gavodeyam Bedam. Because it's a great praise to Bnei Aron that they should be, either it's knee or probably heel deep in blood, to show the number of karbonot that were brought. That's a shevach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's a hiddur mitzvah to have the blood accumulate. Rather than have the blood drain out, we'll have it all accumulate. Now, according to Rabbi Yehuda, he says, the reason I say we poking and we close the drain, and we don't let the blood flow out, is because I want to take a cup at the end from that blood. I understand why I need to do it. But for you, why are you plugging the drain? You're not going to take a cup at the end. So we plug the drain because that's a shevach l'Hashem, shevach l'Bnei Aron, that they're steeped in the blood to show how many Korban Pesach are brought. Rabbi Yehuda says, Chamim, v'adam havi chatzitza. Isn't the dam chatzitza? The Kohanim have to walk and they have to be touching the ritzvat azara. Now between their feet and the azara is blood. So why isn't that a chatzitza? The Chachamim say, no, lachu, v'lavi chatzitza. It was a liquid. And in liquid form, blood is not a chatzitza. It's not any separation between the Kohanim and the floor. It's none. Adam, vadyo, vadvash, v'chalav. These liquids, blood, ink, honey, and milk, if they are dried out, they are chatzitza. They create a separation, they create some sort of block between two items. Lachin, if they're in their liquid form, in chotzitzim, they don't create that separation. Vaha kamit vase manayhu. But doesn't it soil their garments? The big day kahuna are going to get soiled by the blood that's on the floor. Their garments reach down towards the floor. If the blood is flowing up that high, their garments are going to touch the ground and they're going to be covered in blood. Vitznan, and we have a bright, it's really Tanya, Ayu begadav mitushtashim. If his begadim are messy, are dirty, are not laundered, then his avodah is psula. He has to be there with clean, good looking, big day kuna. If he's walking around in blood, they're going to get caught up in the blood or splashed in the blood, and it's going to ruin the big day kuna in terms of being their cleanliness, and he won't be able to do the avodah. So what are you going to think? They're going to roll it up? We had this in the first parak, where they used to roll it up and put the avnet around it. The Gemara says, well, you can't do that. Because Vatanya, mido, kimidato, she'ilo yachsar velo yotir. That when he said that it has to be mido, it has to be his exact measurement. The Kohen has to wear clothing that it fits him perfectly. Not that it is more, and not that it is less. And Spose points out, this is Api the Deya in the first parak, who says that the avnet is midgaz gayis. And when the belt cuts off any excess bagage that you roll up into the belt, it's as if you cut it off the bottom. So if you roll it up to get it off the ground, it's as if now you shorten the bagage too much, and he's wearing big kahuna that don't fit. So the man says, no, I'll tell you what. Beholachat evarim lakevesh. It's taking the limbs of the korban to the ramp. It was when he was doing such a vodah, which is not classing the lava vodahi. So they were doing it. They blocked it up and had the blood flow to make it into a Shevach to Hashem, a Shevach to Bnei Aron, that they're steeped in the blood. But they only did this when they were doing avodot that are not classified as avodah. And that is carrying the limbs of the korban to the ramp. Where it says, velo, what do you mean? It's not an avodah, v'atan, you have a bright to v'kriva ha'kohen et ha'kol. V'kriva ha'kohen ha'mizbecha, zu, holachat, evarim lekevesh. That it's clear, v'kriva ha'kohen, that there's an avodah of bringing that, the evarim, to the kevesh, to the cords, the mizbeach. So it is classified as an avodah. So how can you claim it's not an avodah? Ela balachat itzim lamarachat lababodehi. Now here we're speaking about the Kohanim when they bring the wood to the Mizbeach for the piles on the Mizbeach that lit the fire, the maracha. That's when they did the abodah. That's when we didn't worry about the blood. They used to plug up the sewer during that period of time. When they walked in the blood, it wasn't a problem because it wasn't a abodah. It says, oh, the abodah, hechi azli. Okay, that works well for just taking the wood to Mizbeach. What about the rest of the avodah that's going on in the Mikdash? They have to walk around. They have to get around. What are they going to do about that? Azle, heichi azle, how did they go? Azle, aitzdebe. They went on these projections or projectiles that are either in the ground or above the ground. These pieces of stone that are a little bit above the ground or on the edges of the walls that are something like a bench or a protrusion out of the walls that kept them off the ground. Now they are still considered to be the floor of the Azara because they're built in place and attached to the ground. So when they walk on them, they're still considered to be walking in the Azara, but they are slightly raised. And since they're slightly raised, they do not touch the ground. So the blood that is up high is not going to affect them because these itzdebe are slightly higher than the level that the blood reaches, and therefore the Kohanim are able to walk around without soiling their clothing and without having any problems of chatzitza or doing an avodah while there was blood on the floor that would possibly soil their garments. Alright, so now we have a new Mishnah. It's a Mishnah that we've seen a large part of before, because it talks about pigul, but it'll be a little chazar for us. Shochet et hazevach, somebody does shechitan hazevach, le'echol davar she'ein darko le'echol, to eat something that is not normally consumed, u'laktir davar she'ein darko le'laktir, or to makriv something that is not normally mukrav. Kasher, over there the machshava has no impact. That we said before, because the Torah talks about shtei achilot, that's achilat adam and achilat mizbeach. But when you have a machshava about achilat adam, it has to be something that's ra'ui achilat adam. We have a machshava about achilat mizbeach, it has to be something that is ra'ui la mizbeach. Rabbi Lezer pusel. Rabbi Lezer says it doesn't matter, and it's pasul if he has a machshava of achila. Lechol davar shetarko lechol, ulaktir davar shetarko. So he got the machshava right. I mean, it's a bad machshava, it's a problematic machshava. He did it about something that's normally eaten, or something that's not normally mukrav al mizbeach. But he did pachot mikzayit. It was less than a kazayit worth. Kasher. Lechol kechatzi kazayit, ulaktir kechatzi zayit. Even if he did a chatzi kazayit of achilat adam, and a chatzi kazayit of achilat mizbeach, kasher, the korban is still kasher, she'ein achilav akhtara mitztarfim. She saw before that achilat adam and achilat mizbeach are not mitztaref. You can't bring them together to create a single shi'ur. Hashuchet et hazevach. Someone who shuchs the zevach le'achol kazayit min ha'or. Kazayit worth of the skin. Min ha'rotav. Rotav is the gravy, the juices in which it is steeped or cooked. Min ha'kippah. A kippah is the, what do I call it, the coagulation or the sediments of boiled meat and spices at the bottom of the pot. Min ha'lau. Min ha'lau in the English translation is offal meat. But it is, according to Rashi, a sinew in the neck of the animal which is very hard and not ra'ui la'achila. According to Tosfos, it's pieces of skin when they flay the animal that's cut off. Min atzamot, the bones. Min agidim, the sinews. Min arkarnayim, the horns. Or min atavayim, or the hooves. If he has a machshava about any of these items, chutz lizmano v'chutz l'mizkohomo, he has a machshava pigol of chutz lizmano, or he has a machshava to do eat it, chutz l'mizkohomo, kasher, the animal reigns kasher, v'ein chayin v'alav mishum pigol, Vinotar vitamei, and there's no chiyuv on these items for pigol, notar, and tamei. These items are not considered to be part of the karban, part of which ends up on the mizbeach, or part of which is consumed by man, and therefore they don't have any consideration when it comes to pigol, to notar being left over, or to ma'ah. Shochet et amukdashim. Now, as Rashi tells us over here, the word mukdashim means a behema nikeva. Always means here in the Mishnah means a behema nekeva. So if you shecht a behema nekeva le'echol shalio, to eat its embryo or its fetus, o shilia, or the placenta bachutz, lo pigel, you have no effect on it. Those items are not considered to be a part of the animal. They're not considered to be a yerech, extension of the animal. They're considered to be separate entities. Since they're separate entities, they have no impact on the animal. Amoleke tatorim. Someone who does the shechita of birds in the Mikdash, which is done through melika, the pushing of the thumb of the kohen through the back of the neck of the bird, lechol beitzehen, to eat their eggs, bachutz, lo pigel, it has no impact, because again, the eggs are considered to be separate entities from the birds. Chalav mukdashim, the milk, again, here's a female animal, the female mukdashim, ubeitzei torim, and the eggs of the birds, ein chayavim aleh mishum pigel, notar bitameh, they have no consideration when it comes to pigel, to notar and tameh, because they are not items that are normally, or would be normally be consumed, or they're not items that are considered to be attached, or a part and parcel of the zevach. And that's what Rashi explains over here. Lo pigel, Rashi says, the lav gufei de zivchahu. In all these instances, these are not considered to be a part of the zevach. Since they are separate entities, and separate from the zevach, they will not affect the zevach itself, or not be affected, at least parts of these will not be affected by what happens to the zevach as well. So Amar Rabbi Elazar. So Rabbi Elazar makes a statement which is basically going to take us through the rest of the daf, which is pigel bazevach nit pagel ashalil bishalil lo nit pagel azevach. Our Mishnah only addresses, or seemingly only addresses, the case where a person has a machshevet pigol on one of the items that was listed in the Mishnah, things that are either not ra'ui la'achila, or items that are not considered to be achilik min azevach. So there, when he had his machshava about it, the Mishnah says, has no impact on the korban. Now, what happens if it's the opposite way around? If someone has a machshava about the korban, about the regular zevach, the items that are with the zevach, are they included, or are they not included? So that's where Rabbi Elazar comes to me with Chadeshir. If he's mefagel bezevach, he has a machshavet pigul about the basar zevach, which will make it into pigul. Then nitpagel hashalio, then the embryo, the fetus, becomes pigul, because it's subsumed under the zevach. And as Rashi says over here, Rabbi Elazar believes that it's gufei de zivcha. He argues with our Mishnah and says, no, that it is considered to be an extension of the animal itself. It's considered to be a part of the animal. So ubar yerachimo, because an ubar is considered an extension of its mother. Now, the reason the other way around doesn't work, b'shalil, if he has a machshavah about the shalil, lo nitpagel azevach, is because those are items that ain't darko le'achol. Those are things that people do not normally eat. People do not normally eat the embryo or the fetus. So therefore, you can't have a machshavet pigul about these items. Even though there are some people who do eat it, but batlo dato, it's a rov adam. Rov inshe don't eat these items. So therefore, it's batlo adam. So if that's the case, he makes a statement that this is not a two-way street. Even though when you have a machshava about the shalil, it does not affect the zevach. On the other hand, if you have a machshava about the zevach, it will affect the shalil, and the shalil will be pulled along with it and have a problem of pigul. And the same thing, he makes another statement, pigel be'alau. If he has a machshava about the alau, nitpagla mora'ah. So over here, the pigul be'alau is the birds. Saying that a bird here is not an animal. And even though in the Mishnah we had the alal being something that's inedible, over here in the bird it is edible. As Rashi points out, the alal of the bird is soft, as opposed to the alal of the behemah, which is hard. Alal of the behemah is not considered to be a food, it's not consumable. Whereas the alal of the bird is considered to be part of the meat, the flesh of the bird, and therefore you have a problem with pigul. So you have in mind for that. Then it pagla mora'ah. Then the crop of the bird, which should be, was going to be carved out and taken out of the bird, that crop will be included in the problem of pigul. But the other way around, b'mora'ah, his machshava was about the crop of the bird, lo nitpagel alal, then the alal is not affected. And again, Rashi suggests over here, it's because these are items that are not normally eaten. It's lo chazal achila, it's pirsha ba'alma, it's waste, it's refuse, they're going to cut it out and throw it out into the deshen. They're not going to put this on the mizbeach, so since it's considered like waste, therefore, your machshava about it doesn't affect the bird in any way. On the other hand, when you have a machshava about the bird, it will be attached, it's considered attached, it's considered to be a part of the bird, and therefore it'll drag along with the bird. And again, one more, he says, pigel be'imurim, if you had a machshava about the fats that are going to mizbech, nit paglu parim, then the parim are affected. The parim that we're speaking about here are parim ha-nisrafim, parim that are otherwise not put on the mizbech, not eaten by the Kohanim, not eaten by the Balim, but put on the burnt, on the Deshen. And since they are burnt on the Deshen, they're not Ra'ui L'Achilat Adam, and they're not Ra'ui L'Achilat Mizbeach. We'll see in a second why that is. So now nitpaglu, if he makes a pigul about the emurim are the fats that are going to end up on the mizbech. So his makshava about the emurim do have impact, and they make it into pigul, and it will also affect the parim themselves. On the other hand, the biparim, if he had his makshava about the parim, lo nitpaglu ha-emurim, and then the emurim are not affected by this. Why is that? So number one, they're not ra'ui la'achilat adam, because they're ending up on the deshen. Number two is, they could be classified as ra'ui the mizbeach in some sense. Over here, Rashi says, demachshevet achila lo mehanibu. Talking about eating them makes no difference. Shein tar kol achol. We don't usually consume these items. Umachshevet tzreifa nami lo. And also lo mehanibu, the burning also doesn't help them. Because demachshevet achila mizbeach kabir v'achmara. The Torah is talking about putting it on the mizbeach. Ava tzreifa lav lashon achilohu. Burning them is not the same as feeding them to the mizbeach. If you want the ish to consume it the next day, that is pigul. That's if you think you're using the word sreifa and the lashon as a synonymous with eating. But over here, where they're not using sreifa as synonymous with eating of the mizbeach, rather we're literally burning it. Therefore, the machshava has no impact. So Rashi claims that there's no impact over here because they're not ra'ui la'achilat adam. And the sreifa is not considered a sreifa of significance, like mizbech, because we're talking about not achilat mizbech, but rather just sreifa, burning them up, which is what you're supposed to do with them. Now, Rashi went through the trouble of explaining it this way. The truth is, and as Tosis points out, they really don't need that, because over here, really, the parim and sreifim are both not ra'ui l'adam, and not ra'ui l'mizbeach. So as Tosfos clarifies over here, that in this case, Rashi, even though he happens to be correct about what he's saying, the gabei sreifa, nevertheless, in this instance, we didn't need that, because the parim and israfim are literally not put on the mizbeach, and not ra'ui l'achilat adam. They're put on the deshen outside. So therefore, they're not ra'ui l'achilat adam, not ra'ui l'mizbeach, and that's why there is no machshevet pigul by them. Tosfos also mentions that the Rashi explained in the previous two cases that the problem, according to Rabbi Lazar, is that not chazi l'achila, they're not ra'ui l'achila. The Tosfos says that was necessary by the case of the shalil, but in the case of the oaf, it's not necessary because mo'ra'a ends up on the beit hadeshen. It's also put on the beit hadeshen, so therefore it's not ra'ui l'achilat adam and not ra'ui l'achilat mizbeach. So even though we need Rashi's explanation for a certain part of it, nevertheless, we don't need it for the bird, and we don't need it for the parim and sreifim. What Rashi is saying happens to be correct, but over here, he didn't need to say this, because we have other reasons why these are not ra'ui, they're not ra'ui l'chilat adam, not ra'ui l'chilat mizbeach, because they end up in the deshen. That's true of the mora'a, that's also true of the parim hanisrafim. Now the Gemara says, lema mesayle. Let us say here that we have a proof to the position of Rabbi Lazar, which is v'shavim. She'im chishei v'achilat parim u'b'sreif adam lo asa v'lo klum. Emetzim makhlokas later on in our mesechta between Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim whether you can have a machshevet pigul at all by the parim hanisrafim. But the end there it says v'shavim. Both Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim agree she'im chishei v'achilat parim. If you think about eating the parim u'b'sreif adam or about burning them lo asa v'lo klum. There is no machshava in that instance. My love. What can we deduce from this? Hachishei be'emurim? Had he thought about the emurim, nitpaglu parim, then the parim would have been included. I mean that only if he has a machshava about achila about the parim, or sreifa about the parim, then nothing happens. On the other hand, if he did have a machshava about the emurim, it would make it into pigul and make the whole thing into pigul, even the part of the parim. Gemara says, no, that's not what you can infer from this statement. I'll tell you what you can infer from this statement. Ha chishei bimurim, nit paglu emurim atzman. If he thinks about the emurim, they will affect themselves. It's not necessarily that they'll affect the whole karban, they'll affect the parim hanisrafim. So Rabbi Lazar believes in this inequality, which is something that cannot make pigul, nevertheless can be nit pagel, can become pigul. So that's in our case here, like the parim and israfim, when he has a machshava about the emurim, which can become pigul, they will affect the parim and israfim as well, and they will also become pigul. They will be nit pagel. On the other hand, if you have a machshava about the parim and israfim, about the parim themselves, they will have no impact, not on themselves, and not on the emurim as well. So they cannot create pigul, yet they will be nit pagel. So we wanted to infer from the statements later on in our Masechta that the Chachamim and Rav Shimon agree that there is no pigul with regards to the parim and israfim, usrim and israfim, not the emurim, but the parim and the seir itself. In that case, there is no pigul. So we want to infer from that, there's no pigul by them, but there is pigul by the Emurim. If that's the case, then the pigul by the Emurim will affect themselves, as well as the basar, or the parim nesufim and the sirim nesufim. Which says, why do you have to midayik like that? Just say it like this, that the Emurim will affect themselves. Yes, no, we're going to say there is equivalence. That only something that can be made pigul will be nitpagel. So the parim nisrafim can't make pigul, they also will not be nitpagel. The emurim, they make pigul, so they themselves will be nitpagel, but they won't affect the parim or the sirim. They'll be separate entities, and only the emurim will become a problem of pigul. So the Gemara rejects that proof to Rabbi Lezer's position from that statement later on. So tashma, parim nisrafim usirim hanisrafim. When it comes to these parim and sirim that are nisrafim, ma'alim behem mishu dushu. Once they are nitkadesh, once they are made kodesh, then if someone misappropriates them, they'll be chayav for mi'ila. Nishchatu, after they're shechted, hukshiru li pasel b'tvuyom, ubemechusar kipurim, ubelina. After they are shechted, these additional items, the kedusha, or the status of the behemah changes to the point where if a tvul yom or mechusar kibbim comes into contact with them, they will make them tamei. And number two is ubelina. They now have a problem of lina, which means they may not be left overnight in the mikdash. So my love, what lina are we talking about here that they can't be left overnight? My love, lina to basar. Are we talking about the parim and the nis and the sarim themselves? Ushma mina. And from that we would conclude, migo the pasla belina, pasla nami ba machshavet lina. That just like lina is a problem for these animals, so too, or for the parim and sirim, so too, the machshavet lina in these items will be problematic for them. So over here you see that this Breita believes that once the shechita has taken place, there is a concept of lina, of leaning an animal past the point of time where it's supposed to be around in the mikdash. And that's why I meant the parim nisrafim and sirim nisrafim. So just like there's a problem in the literal lina of leaving it over, so too the problem of machshavet lina, of having a machshava about it to leave it over. Now that machshava won't be strong enough to make it pigul if you think about those items themselves, but it should be enough that it be nitpagel, that they should become pigul of something else in the animal that can become pigul, is made pigul, then the parim and the sirim and nisrafim should be affected by it. Just like they become lina, they should also be able to come pigul, which is a machshevet lina, should also impact on them. One says, no, that's not what that bright is talking about. It's talking about linat emurim, leaving over the emurim. Once you check the animal, there's a restriction against leaving over the fats that will get onto the mizbech, leaving those overnight. One says, v'abniktani seifa, the writer half of that bright says, kulan ma'alim behen al beit adashin ad shiyutach habasar. Rashi actually changes the gear so to read achiyatich habasar, that the mi'ila, the problem of mi'ila exists on these animals until they are consumed, the fire catches them on the deshen. So that's why Rashi says the girsa should be yatich and not yutach, because if it's already yutach, it's totally consumed and burnt up on the beit hadeshen, then it's naseh mitzvato. The mitzvah is already done, and then there's nothing to talk about. Of course, there's no mi'ila. The chiddush here is it's ad sheyatich et habasar, until it starts to catch fire and is beginning to be consumed by the fire. Once the fire is lit over there, that's enough to take away the chiyuv mi'ila. So if we're talking about basar in the latter half of that braita, michlal, the ratio linat basar, that the ratio is also talking about basar, and that would mean that we're talking about linat basar, and it's proof to Rabbi Elazar that there is pigul by basar. It says midiria. Why do you have to say that? Hakadito, the hakadito. No, the ratio is talking about emurim. Seifa is talking about basar, it's talking about the flesh. Each part of the braita is talking about what's relevant to it. When it's talking about lina, it's talking about emurim that are relevant in lina and machshavet lina. It's talking about the beit hadeshen and the mi'ilah until it reaches the beit hadeshen. That's why I'm at the basar. And that's what it was speaking about in the latter half of the braita. But now the Gemara brings a challenge to this position of Rabbi Elazar. Motiv rabo. Be'elu she'ein mitfaglim ve'ein mitpaglim. These are items that cannot make an animal into pigul, and they themselves do not become pigul. Tzemer shebereshei kvasim. The hair on the head of a sheep. Se'ar shebezakan teyashim. The hair on the beard of the goat, ve'or, the skin, varotav, and the gravy, or the liquid in which the animal is stewed, vakipa, the sediments of meat and spices at the bottom of the pot, ve'alal, the hard sinew in the neck, va'mora'ah, and the crop, va'tzamot, and the bones, va'gidim, and the sinews, va'karnayim, and the horns, va'talfayim, and the hooves, va'shalio, the embryo or the fetus, va'shilia, and the placenta, v'chalav ha'mukdashim, and all of these are in a female behemah, and the milk of mukdashim, u'beitzei tarim, and the eggs of the tarim, kulan, all these items, lo mifaglim, ve'lo mitpaglim. Not only can they, if you have a machshava about them, not be mefagel the behemah, if another part of the behemah is affected by them, lo mitpaglim, they don't become pigul. Ve'ein chayivim aleim mishum pigul, notar vitamei. And all of these items, there is no din of pigul, notar, and tamei. All these items are not classified as being ra'ui la'achila, or a part of achilat mizbeach or achilat adam, and therefore pigul will not affect them, notar will not affect them, and tum'ah will not affect them. And someone who takes some of these items and mizmakr them on mizbeach outside of the mignash, patur is not chayav karet, because that's not considered to be shchutei chutz or hakravat chutz. The Rashi points out in the Braita that the reason that the Braita has to tell us about the hair of the keves and the seyar, the hair that's on the beard of the goat, is because when you shech the korban, the head is cut off or severed from the behemah, and then the head is offered on the mizbeach without any hefshed, without being skinned. So therefore the head still has the hair or the wool of the sheep that's on it. And because of that, the Braita comes to tell you that those items do not have, or you cannot have a machshev pigul about them. Even though they're going to end up on the mizbeach, they're not really ra'ui l'achilat adam, and they're not really ra'ui l'achilat mizbeach. They're only coming on because the whole head goes on. They're just coming a gavrora of the head. But not, if they were alone, we wouldn't put them on the mizbeach. It's just because they're attached to the head, and there's no hefshet, there's no skinning of the head, that we put the whole thing on the mizbeach. That's the chiddush of why these two items are mentioned here in the Braita. My love, so what, how are you going to read this Braita? Lo mifaglin hazevach, velo mitpaglin machmat hazevach. What it means that they cannot be mifagel, they can't make pigul, is that they themselves don't affect the animal. If you think about them, they don't affect the broad animal. Velo mitpaglin means if the other part of the animal, something else in the animal, you were able to make it into pigul, they will not be affected by that. Lo mitpaglin, they don't become pigul. Where it says lo. Lo mifaglim etzevach, velo mitpaglim machmat atzman. No, they do not affect the zevach themselves. Velo mitpaglim is they don't become pigul if they themselves. If you think about them to make them pigul, not only do they not affect the zevach, they don't affect themselves, and that's why they don't mitpagel. But in Ochanami, if the zevach did become pigul, they would be affected. Where it says, Ihochi adik toni seifa, then what are you going to do with the latter after the Braita? The Braita made two statements of the first part of the Braita, which says, Elu, she'ein mifaglim ve'ein mitpaglim. And then it reviewed that again at the end. It says, Kulan lo mifaglim ve'lo mitpaglim. So it makes two statements. So I can explain, okay, Enochanami, I'll give it to you. We'll explain the Braita in your way, which won't be a problem for Rebbe Lazar, which is that pigul, they don't make the zevach, the broader zevach pigul, when you have a machshav about them. And lo mitpagel means that when you have a machshav about them, they don't affect themselves. But then what are you going to do with the second statement of pigul and mitpagel in the Mishnah? It must be coming to teach me. That's what I said before. So that's what the Gemara says here. Yoch, yag, dechani, seva, kulan, lo mifaglim, velo mitpaglim, hatu, lamali. What do I need this extra statement for? So it must be, it's come to teach me that not only do they not make pigul of the rest of the zevach or of themselves, but they also are not mitpagel. If the rest of the zevach was made into pigul, they are not affected by that. Gemara says, v'litamech, ein chayv en lov mishum pigul, notar v'tameh. That last statement in the Mishnah makes a third time it says there's no pigul. Hatu, lamali. And then what's going to be your limud out of that? Ela aydi debay the mitna notar betamei tana pigul. At the end of the Mishnah, right, they wanted to mention notar betamei, and they usually come as a threesome, pigul notar betamei. So mention pigul again. Hachanami, so to appear, I did the by the mitnei malam bechulim bechulot. At the end of the bright, after the enumeration of the list, it mentions that if you makrib those outside, that they're your patur, outside the mikdash your patur. So again, it mentioned the fact that ein mefaglim ve'ein mitpaglim. So it's a gav grora. It was brought down as a sidebar, but not because we're trying to teach the halacha. Meaning that the fact is that the bright the three times says there's no pigul over here, and you can't come up with a chiddush for three different times why it's not pigul. So it must be that the bright is just throwing the word pigul in because it's matching up with other items by pigul notar v'tamei, or by malan bechem bechutz, then ein mifaglim ein mitpaglim. But the only one that's real, or the only one that really makes a difference, halacha, is the first one, which says ein pigul ve'ein mitpaglim. That I can read my way, as says Rabbi Lazar. I can read it to mean they don't make pigul of the rest of the zevach, and mitpaglim, they themselves don't affect themselves. But they can be affected by the rest of the zevach that is pigul, they will be affected. And therefore, because it had to write malam minchud, tadanami chulon lo mifaglim lo pitgolim. Rabbi Amar afana namitinina. Rabbi now comes to bring a proof to the position of Rabbi Lazar from our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says, "Ashochet et amugdashim lecho shalil o shil yabachutz lo pigel." Someone who has in mind by a female beimah to eat the embryo, the fetus, or the placenta outside, lo pigel, has no effect. V'amoleket etorim lecho beitzim bechutz lo pigel. And then someone who has a machshov about the beitzim outside is no pigel. V'hadar tani. And then the Mishnah continues and says, "Chalav amugdashim." When it comes to the milk, upeitzim etorim ein chayvelim mishum pigel notar v'tamei. There is no chi of a pickle tamer tamei. Ha! What you can infer from this is shalil v'shilya chayavim. They do have a chi of a pigul. Elav shmamina kan machmad zevach kan machmad atzman shmamina. How are you going to reconcile that? How come when it came to the shalil and the shilya, the Mishnah only said that lo pigel? If you have a machshava about them, you do not affect the rest of the zevach. But when it comes to they themselves, the Mishnah says nothing. On the other hand, when it came to the chalav and the beitzim, the Mishnah says, number one, if you have a machshava about them, it does not make pigel. And number two is, if something else is made pigel, they are not affected. So from that you can see that only the beitzim and the chalav are not affected when the zevach or the bird becomes pigel. They are not affected. But that's not true of the shalil and the shalya. When it comes to the fetus, the embryo, or the placenta, over there, it's true that they don't make pigul of the zevach, but if the zevach is pigul, they will be pigul. And that's why the Mishnah only mentions the portion of them in the latter half. It mentions all of them when it comes to that they can't make pigul about the zevach. When it comes to them being nitzpagel, that they don't have pigul, notar and tamei, it only mentions the beitzim and the chalav, does not mention the shalil and shiliyah. That comes to teach us that the shalil and shiliyah can become pigul. And that would be like Rabbi Lazar, that even though they're not mitpagel, they can't affect the korban, nevertheless they are mitpagel, they can become pigul if the zevach itself or the bird itself became pigul. So there's a Mishnah later on in the parak of that, if something ends up in the Mizbech, in Ma'alu, they end up in the Mizbech, lo yardu, they will not be taken down. There's certain items, we've seen this before, if it has a psul b'kodesh, something that's psul, machloket Rashi and Tosafot, what psul b'kodesh means, that it happens in the kodesh, the area of the kodesh, or it's something that only affects kodesh, not chulin. If they have such a psul in the karban, and for whatever reason it ended up in the Mizbech by accident, we don't take it off. It stays on the Mizbech. So that Mishnah, it says, Ubali Mumim. When it comes to an animal that has a mum in it, Rabbi Kiva Machshir, if it ends up on the Mizbech, Rabbi Kiva says, leave it on the Mizbech, Ubali Mumim. Amar Rabbi Yechia, Bar Abam Rabbi Yochanan, Lo Yekshir Rabbi Kiva El Bedokin Shiba'ayim. The Rabbi Kiva, when he says that Bali Mumim, if they end up in the Mizbech, we don't take them down, that's only talking about a mum, like a Dokin Shiba'ayim, which is a very light wound. It's a wound that involves some sort of break in the eye or a line, a white line that crosses through the eye or a spot on the eye, a cataract of some sort. Those types of light mumim, ho'il k'sheri b'afot, because they are okay. If you bring an oaf with a dokin shiba'ayin, that is not a problem being mukrab on the mizbeach. And therefore, it will not, by behemah, force us to take it off the mizbeach. Ein ochanami nachtchilo, it's a problem, and you can't bring such an animal. But nevertheless, by an oaf, that's not true. Since it's not true by an oaf, it's aloof. It ended up in the Mizbech for whatever reason. We're going to leave the behemah over there. Now, by an oaf, the only thing that affects an oaf is mechusar eder. An oaf doesn't have mumim except for the fact that it's missing a limb. If it's missing a limb, the oaf is problematic. Rashi says that we learn that out from the fact that it says, by the karbanot, mishum hekrivuha na lefechatcha, the Navi wants to know what you're going to bring the worst of your things before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Mechus Eiver is just not appropriate to bring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's like bringing a gift that's not really a gift. So that's what Rashi says. Tosafot says, I don't know why Rashi had to do that, because we have a explicit pasuk that we learned now from, which says, Mina Of, Velo Kol Of, that only certain Ofot end up in the Mizbeach, but not all Ofot. What's the difference? Well, if they're Mechus Eiver, they don't end up in the Mizbeach. So therefore we have a limud that mechusar eiver by oaf does not. But any other mum will not affect the bird. Other than by behema, of course mechusar eiver is problematic, but a behema is additional mumim, for instance like dokin shiba'ayin, that don't apply to a bird. And there are other mumim that apply to a behema that do not include mechusar eiver, and they only affect the behema. So what Rabbi Kiva is coming to say is that when a mum ends up on the Mizbeach, and I say, Im alu, lo yardu, if they're put on there, we don't bring them back down, that's only an amum that otherwise would be kasher by an oaf. Since by an oaf it's okay, we see by behemoth it's not the worst type of amum that it could have, and therefore it ends up on the Mizbeach, we say, just leave it there. Again, lechatchila, we don't, you of course can't do that, it's a korban with a baal mum. And the other qualification is Hushuk Adam Hikdishat Mumah. That's only if the animal was Mukdash and then the Mum came afterwards. Because then it's a Psul Makodesh. But on the other hand, if it was the other way around, if the Mum came first and then you tried to be Makdishit, it was never Ra'oi L'Mizbeach. Since it was never Ra'oi L'Mizbeach, when you're Makdishit, it becomes Kedushat Mamon, Kedushat Berek Abayit, and not Kedushat Mizbeach. Kedushat Mizbeach is never Toface on it. And that, if it's no Kedushat Mizbeach, even Rabbi Akiva is going to agree, you can't put it onto the Mizbeach, or if it went on the Mizbeach, you take it down. So the qualification by Rabbi Chir Ba'av and Rabbi Yochanan about Rabbi Akiva's position later on, that Rabbi Akiva believes that Balei Mumim, who end up on the Mizbeach, we don't take them down, even though they shouldn't be there. That's only true of Mumim that are otherwise Kasher Be'ofot, number one. And number two is that the Mum came after the Hekdesh, so that there is Kedushat Mizbeach that happened to this animal. It just has a Mum in it now, not if the Mum preceded the Kedushah, where it never reached the level of Kedushat Mizbeach. And then it continues, Amode Rabbi Kiva, Be'olat Nikeva, Deman Kedam Mumah L'Kedushat Dami. If you bring an Olah from a female animal, it's the equivalent of having the Mum before the Hekdesh. Because an olah is only brought from a zachar, from a male animal. So being a female is a mum. And that is equivalent to the mum being there prior to the hekdesh. Meaning that if you're makdisha behemad nikeva tiyoto olah, that will not work for kedushat mizbeach. It will only be kedushat bedek abayit. You can't make it have kedushat mizbeach. So now, meitiv Rabbi Zeira. Rabbi Zeira asks from our brayta that we had before. Amaleh mehen bechutz patur. The list in the brayta that we just had up above here said that if you take any of these items that are enumerated in the brayta and you bring them outside the mikdash, patur. Ha mi'iman chayav. But had it come from their mother, then it would have been chayav. Meaning that it's only the shalil and the shiliyah that you're patur. The embryo, the fetus, or the placenta, which are not part of the mother, they, if you bring them alei mechutz, you're patur. But if you bring from the mother itself, you would be chayav, which indicates that you could have such a concept of an olat nikeva. Because only a nikeva, number one, can be pregnant and can have a fetus, embryo, or placenta inside of it. Number two is it's only relevant by an olah. Because an olah, the entire animal ends up in the mizbeach. By a shlamim, which can be a nikeva, there is no relevance over there. Because by the shlamim, those parts don't end up on the mizbeach. Only the emurim, only the fats end up on the mizbeach. The basar has achilat adam, the fats are achilat mizbeach. The shalil and shalia are not in that concept. They don't have a problem at all. They can't be malein b'chutz. They don't have any shaykhut to the mizbeach when it comes to shlamim. So we must be talking about an olah in the previous braita. When it comes to there, we say that the embryos or the fetuses or the placentas of that olah nikeva are not problematic, but it sounds like the olah itself would be problematic. And the only case you can have that is olat nekeva. If you think that Rabbi Akiva says that an olat nekeva is not like the mum preceded the hekdesh, and therefore it has kedushat mizbeach, and if you put it on the mizbeach, we don't take it down, then Rabbi Akiva can be the author of that braita. Hamani Rabbi Akiva, he'll be the author of that braita. That the fetuses, embryos, placentas, no. But the mother itself, yes. According to you, it says now that in a keva, Latin keva is equivalent of the mum before the Hekdesh, and therefore it never reaches Kedushat Mizbeach, it was always Kedushat Berek Abayit. Then if you put it on the Mizbeach, you gotta take it off. Hamani, then who's the author of our brayta before? So, Ema, Hamale, Mehen, Bachut, Patur. No, do this as the diuk. That if you place from them bachutz, meaning those the shalil and shiliyah, if you place them outside, then you're patur. Hami mireiman chayav. But if you put it the fats of the mother, then you'll be chayav. Ah, we're talking about emurim. Everybody agrees by the emurim. That could be talking about a shlamim. Because the shlamim, the emurim of a nekeva, end up on the mizbeach. So over there it makes sense that the emurim are excluded. Rabbi says, "V'hamehen k'tani." When you make a diuk, you make a diuk that sounds is similar to them. Just like it would be like equivalent to the shalil v'shaliyah in the mother. And what's that? That's the basar. V'imam dum yadidu. Ela ema. You must say, "Maleh me'imurim b'chutz." If you're maleh from the imurim of the fetus outside, patur. Hame'imurayman. But if it was done from the fats of the mother, chayav. Then you would be chayav. So that would be clear, because then we don't need to worry about this whole idea of the olat nekeva. Because the nekeva here can be the shlamim. And the shlamim, we know, if it's a nekeva, can have a shalil and shalil on it. And number two is the imurim end up on the mizbeach. So that is something that's mukrab on the mizbeach. Therefore, you would be chayav b'chutz. So that's what we say over here. The imurim of the embryo fetus are not problematic when it comes to hakrabat chutz, whereas when it comes to the imurim of the mother, they are problematic. Now you have the inference being parallel. Remember about the imurim in both instances. In one case, the imurim are patur, in the other instance, the imurim are chayav. We're talking about a shlamim. So now it involved in this position of Rabbi Akiva, which says that an olat nekeva is pasul mi'ikara, that it never becomes kadosh, because we don't need the olat nekeva to explain the brayta above, because we're using it now with a shlamim. Okay, we'll stop over here.